Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
How did you get involved in the Pound of Science?
So I was a team leader last year, and that was actually my first involvement, having been to a few talks the year before, and I thought it was a great opportunity to get involved in public engagement and, you know, trying to get people interested in science. And then at the end of last year, they asked me if I wanted to step up and take a bigger role on this year, which is coordinating the Cambridge event.
As a Cambridge coordinator, what did you have to do?
Most of it is making sure that all of the teams that are organising it are kind of on track and making sure that it's coming along smoothly, basically.
So you want to bring people closer to science, is that your aim?
Yeah, that's the general idea. Yeah, so Pint of Science is generally aimed at getting people more engaged and more interested in science, because a lot of people's engagement with science tends to end when they leave school, really. So I think putting it in a pub just makes it a lot more accessible as well.
This is the fifth edition of Pint of Science. The organisation has grown.
Yeah, it's massive now. So I think it started out as taking place in 3 cities, and it's now something like 33 cities just in the UK alone, a couple hundred internationally. You know, it's a huge undertaking, and when you start taking into account the number of organisers, the number of speakers, the number of attendees, it's in the thousands. It's huge.
So do you think people prefer learning over a pint than in a classroom?
That's a difficult question. I think they're very different types of learning. I'm not expecting anyone to go to Pint of Science and start taking notes. So I think it's more just to give people a taste of the science that's happening in their local city, rather than that we expect them to really go away and kind of fundamentally understand dementia or AI or whatever talk they've been to.
Who are the speakers of this year's edition in Cambridge?
We've got about 70 or 80, so I won't list all of them. Generally, they are scientists from the Cambridge area. So a lot of them are academics, but we've got a lot of biotech in Cambridge as well. So we've got people who work in biotechnology, some consultants, some people who work for places like Microsoft and Amazon. So yeah, I mean, really, they're from all over the place, but they're all based in Cambridge. To the best of my knowledge, everyone will make, you know, a new presentation for Pint of Science, because giving a talk to the general public is very different from speaking to, you know, other scientists. Obviously, the kind of level that you're pitching at and the assumed knowledge is going to be very different. So yeah, I think most of the scientists make their own presentations with that audience specifically in mind. Okay, so everyone taking part at Pint of Science is a volunteer, so the organisers and, of course, the speakers. So we pay for their drinks and their food on the night, but otherwise they're doing everything for free. So we only charge a nominal fee of £4 to get in to see, you know, multiple speakers and some entertainment in between. And the tickets are available online only, especially in Cambridge, where they'll sell out generally within a couple of days.
Are you going to present?
No. No, I, to be honest, had I not been organising, I might have liked to, but as it is, I didn't want to do both.
Is it because it's too time consuming?
It's not that time consuming, but we start early. So the event takes place in the middle of May, and we start organising it in November. So, you know, it's quite a lot of time to organise that kind of event.
Are you going to be opening the first presentation? Are you going to be at all in front of the public?
So last year I was. So last year, when I had my one event with my team, the Beautiful Mind event, which is neuroscience and psychology, I introduced the first night then and introduced the speakers and tried to get people a bit engaged with it to start with. This year, because I don't have my own event that I'm running, I'll leave that to the individual teams that are running the events, I think.
So what topics are your colleagues going to cover this year?
So Pint of Science is divided into 6 themes. So those are Beautiful Mind, as I just mentioned, so that's neuroscience and psychology. Planet Earth, which is climate, plant biology, geography. Atoms, Galaxies, which is physics and chemistry. Tech Me Out, which is kind of most modern technology. Our Body, which is predominantly just biology. And Our Society, which is law and politics and how science interacts with policy. And then within those, each team will decide on a theme for each night. So Pipe Science happens over three evenings, and so they'll pick, you know, one theme within Beautiful Minds, you know, within neuroscience, so they may pick dementia, or one theme within, you know, Tech Me Out, so they may choose AI, that kind of thing. So yeah, we've got a huge spectrum of things, and we try and pick things that, one, we think the public will be really interested in and can really relate to, rather than kind of very niche minutiae of academia. And we try to pick things that are kind of really current. So, you know, Planet Earth will be talking about climate change and that kind of thing.
Are there going to be presentations at the same time in different pubs?
Yes. So Pipe Science internationally happens at exactly the same time everywhere. As I mentioned earlier, there's about 33 cities taking part this year in the UK alone.
What pubs are taking part in this year's edition?
Off the top of my head, we have The Grain Store, Novi, The Castle, Panton Arms, CB2 Bistro, Boathouse, Brewhouse, and Thirsty.
How many people do you expect to come?
Each evening we anticipate about 50 or 60 within the pub, kind of each, you know, within each individual pub each night. So times by 3, 150, times by 8. So a few thousand for Cambridge.
That is quite a big turnout.
Yeah, well, Cambridge is great because I think we have quite a science, you know, a science savvy community in Cambridge generally. So I think people are very interested in, I've never been to it in another city or never organised it in another city, but I do wonder if Cambridge is a little bit unique in kind of how into Pint of Science people are here.
If you weren't organising it, would you attend just as a viewer?
Yeah, definitely. And I did beforehand, and that's how I thought, yeah, this is a great initiative. And, you know, they're always good. I mean, the talks are always kind of worth going for minimal, you know, fee, and you get a pint.
And tickets go on sale on the 9th of April. Are there any limitations to the number of tickets that people can get?
Well, the limitation is the capacity of the pub. So the capacity of most of the, you know, the kind of function rooms and things like that we've booked out is in the region of 50 or 60 people. So that's the only limiting factor for our tickets. We also are responsible for organising a sister festival. I don't know if you've heard of this, called Creative Reactions. Okay, this is a good time to advertise that as well then. No, so Creative Reactions is an art science collaboration festival. So what we do is we pair up the speakers that we've organized for Pint of Science, we pair them up with an artist in the local area, and they'll meet up, they'll discuss what the scientist researches on, you know, what they work on, with the idea being that that will go and inspire a piece of art. And we then present all of these pieces of art in an exhibition at the end of the Pint of Science week. So in Cambridge, that's taking place on Friday, May the 18th, and Saturday the 19th. And at the moment, we've got a huge number of artists taking part. So something like 60 or 70 artists, each producing their own individual piece of work. And we'll have performers there and that kind of thing as well. And that's taking place at St. Barnabas Church on Mill Road.
Is that the first edition?
No, I think that's the third. But it's something that not every city does. So Cambridge does it, London does it, maybe one or two others. But actually, it's something which is kind of fairly unique to the cities, I think, where pint science is biggest, really.
So are you combining science with a pint and also science with art?
Yes.
What else do you have in the pipeline then?
Yeah, I don't know what can we combine with science next? Yeah, I'm not sure. To the best of my knowledge, I think the next aim is to get Pipe Science even bigger internationally, really, because it's already pretty big in the UK.